Amen.
Amen. All right, we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And of course, on Sunday mornings, we've been going through a sermon series entitled How to Earn Rewards in Heaven. And we've been looking at the last several weeks what the Bible teaches about earning rewards in heaven. And this morning, we are ending our sermon series on this subject, How to Earn Rewards in Heaven. Of course, next week is Easter. We'll hope you'll join us for Easter, and I'll be preaching on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the week after that, we begin a brand new sermon series entitled Timeline of the End Times. And we're going to be studying all of the major events in end times prophecy. And I think that you should be interested in learning about that, not just because it's an interesting subject, although it is an interesting subject, but you might live through it. And it might be good for us to learn what the Bible teaches about these things. But this morning, we're ending this series on how to earn rewards in heaven. And we've been focusing on, in this sermon series, we've been focusing on specific things the Bible says about earning rewards. And of course, there's lots the Bible says about this that we haven't gone into. But we've been looking at these specific scriptures that say, if you do this, if you experience this, you will earn a reward in heaven. And I've been saying this as we've been going through this series that I think it's a good idea if we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So the Bible says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a choice whether you get to go or not. And we're going to be judged for the things we did in our body, and we're either going to be rewarded for the things that we did that had eternal value, or we're going to suffer loss, as we saw on Sunday night, if we don't, then I just have this thought that if I'm going to play a game, I want to know what the rules are. And if I'm going to be involved in something, I want to know how to win. And I think that we as Christians should be interested in learning how to earn rewards in heaven. And today, this morning specifically, we're looking at this subject on how to earn rewards through soul winning. How to earn rewards through soul winning. Now, I'd like to just, by way of introduction, give you some thoughts with regards to soul winning before we get into the specifics about earning rewards for soul winning. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 5. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Of course, the Corinthian church is a carnal church, and they've divided themselves into little factions and cliques, and some are saying, I'm of Paul, and some are saying, I'm of Cephas, others saying, I'm of Apollos. And Paul is referring to that. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? And he says this, he says, but ministers by whom ye believed. And he says, Paul and Apollos are simply ministers, they're servants by whom ye believed. He said, you believed because of the ministry and work of Paul. You believe because of the ministry and work of Apollos. And what he's simply saying there is that these are just men. They are just ministers. They are specifically here in the context of the fact that these individuals believe, these individuals in Corinth believe, they got saved because of Paul and Apollos. These are just soul winners, or what we would call soul winners. The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. That's where we get that term from in the book of Proverbs. We'll actually see that verse later on in the sermon. But here he says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but minister by whom ye believed? But then I want you to notice this little statement here, this little phrase that he says. He says, even as the Lord gave to every man. Even as the Lord gave to every man. And that those two words, even as, mean in the same way. Or he's saying, it's really no different than. And he's saying, Paul and Apollos were ministers by whom ye believed. He's talking to the church in Corinth. But he said, they're not really any different than any other minister who the Lord gave to every man. What I want you to notice there is that here Paul is saying that he and Apollos were ministers by whom ye believed, soul winners that brought the gospel, that got people saved. And he says, in the same way that the Lord gave to every man. What I want to highlight for you, and again, this is just by way of introduction, is the responsibility of a soul winner. The responsibility of a soul winner. We see here in this little verse that God has given, according to this passage,
every man a soul winner. God has ordained for every person in this world to hear the gospel from another saved person. Now, you might say, but there's so many unsaved people out there, and there's so many, not as many saved people out there. But the truth of the matter is this, that if every Christian decided to get the gospel out to the people that they have the ability to, we could reach the world in this generation. There have been studies done on how we are connected in this world, and we've never been more connected than we are right now. But there are studies done, I think one of them is called the 6 degrees of separation, and how any one human being is only 6 people separated from any other human being on this earth. You say, what does that mean? That means that you know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone. You carry that 6 degrees out, who knows any other person in this world. You say, the President of the United States, there are 6 people between you and Donald Trump. You know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows Donald Trump. And it's not just Donald Trump, of course. It's any human being in this world. And the truth of the matter is this, that there are people in your life that you have access to that I may never have access to. There are people in my life that I have access to that I may never have access to. But God, in His wisdom and God, in His providence, has ordained that every man have a minister, have a soul winner that is supposed to give them the gospel. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But minister by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. That means that when you look out in that road and you see individuals driving by or walking by, God has already ordained for someone to give the gospel to that person. And the question that you and I should ask ourselves is, who has God appointed me to give the gospel to? We see the responsibility of a soul winner. And if you're saved this morning, it is your responsibility and it is my responsibility to make sure we get the gospel out. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like you to flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. It feels a little echoey to me, but that, I'm not saying it is echoey. I need you people who can help me with that to figure that out. My ears are bad. I worked on the flight line for 4 years while I was in the Air Force, so you can't trust anything I hear. Sometimes people say, I said this to you, and I'm like, you might have said that to me, but I don't remember it. Second, might have not heard it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you could help me with that, I'd appreciate it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to notice verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled. You see that word reconciled there? The word reconciled means to restore relationship. He says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? I hope this morning that is your testimony, that you can say without a shadow of a doubt that you've been reconciled to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you're saved. And if you're not saved this morning, please don't leave here this morning without allowing somebody to show you how you can be saved, how you can be reconciled unto the Lord. Here he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice the words here. He says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There is a ministry of reconciling sinners to God. There is a ministry of restoring relationship between unsaved people and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Bible says that God hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Notice the responsibility that we've been given, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And you and I need to understand that there is a responsibility that has been given to us. The responsibility of being a soul winner and going out and preaching the gospels even as the Lord gave to every man. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, look at verse number 6. So we see, just real quickly, the responsibility of a soul winner. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have been committed with the word of reconciliation. But I want you to notice, secondly, and again, this is all just introduction, I want you to notice that there's the role of the soul winner, not just the responsibility of the soul winner. You have a responsibility to reach people that you know with the gospel. You've been given that ministry. You've been given that responsibility. But I want you to notice the role of the soul winner in verse 6. Paul says this, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And the idea is this, that we all may play different roles in this big ministry of reconciliation. You might be the person that initially plants a seed and plants that seed of the Word of God and speaks to somebody about the gospel. Maybe they don't get saved. Maybe somebody else comes along the way and they water that seed. Maybe somebody else comes along the way and they have the privilege to reap that harvest. But at the end of the day, no matter if you planted, no matter if you watered, no matter if you reap, no matter what role you played, first of all, we need to remember that the one that gets the credit is God, because it is God that gave the increase. It is God that gives life. It is God that saves a soul. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Notice verse 7. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but God giveth the increase. And the idea is this, that not only do you and I have a responsibility to be soul winners and to get out the ministry of reconciliation, but we also have a role to play. You say, well, I'm not the preacher, I'm not the pastor. But you've got a role to play in this big ministry of reconciliation. God wants you involved in this idea of soul winning. And if you come to our church for any length of time, you've heard us talk about soul winning, and maybe the concept is new to you, but let me just explain to you what soul winning is. Soul winning is when we go out under the obedience of God, because God has commissioned us. God has given us this great commission. Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to go out, and soul winning is when we go out in the community, two by two. You say, where do you get that from? From the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Not from the Jehovah's Witnesses, not from the Mormons, from the Word of God. We go from two by two. We go house to house. You say, what do? Well, we invite people to church, and we preach the gospel to anyone who's interested. We give people the opportunity to hear the gospel. We ask people the question, do you know for sure if you died today? If you're on your way to heaven? If you don't, could we show you from the Bible how you could know for sure? We invite people to church. We preach the gospel to anyone who's interested. This is what soul winning is. This is the ministry of reconciliation, the responsibility that God has given to all of us, not just the pastor, not just the deacon, not just the staff, not just real good Christians, but we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. We all have a role to play. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I want to encourage you that this week you will have an opportunity to get involved in soul winning. This week. We'll have an opportunity for you to go out soul winning on Thursday at 6 p.m. and on Friday at 6 p.m. and on Saturday at 10 a.m. Even today, this afternoon at 2 p.m. You say, well, I can't do that and I can't talk. Well, then you can be a silent partner and you can just go with someone that does know what they're doing and they can talk and you can just be their partner and join them and pray with them and fellowship with them. And you say, well, being a silent partner, hey, it doesn't matter what role you play. It's God that gives the increase. But we have the responsibility, and we have the role. But I want you to notice, thirdly, and this is all, again, introduction. Look at verse 8. We see the reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. See, when you and I go out soul winning, and I give the gospel and you're the silent partner, or you give the gospel and I'm the silent partner, we both get rewards for that in heaven. We're one. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Because it doesn't matter what role you play. It is God that gives the increase. We're just to take the responsibility of preaching the gospel. He says there in verse 8, now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive, notice these words here, his own reward. He says every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So not only is there a responsibility for soul winning, not only is there a role for soul winning, but there's also a reward for soul winning. God says that he's going to reward us. Here in verse 8, he says, every man, no matter what role you play, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. By the way, God does not reward you for how many people you get saved. Why would God reward you for something he did? God doesn't reward you for how many people you get saved. Don't worry about trying to inflate numbers. Well, I went out, you're out for 15 minutes and got 12 people saved. I don't know how that worked. But you know, the truth of the matter is this, that God does, if I go out soul winning for a few hours and I'm faithful at it, and I'm trying, I'm doing my best to warn people and give people the opportunity to hear the gospel, nobody gets saved. Or I go out for a couple hours and four people get saved. You know that God rewards me the same way in heaven? Because he rewards us for our labor. He rewards us for being involved and being engaged. He rewards us for taking the responsibility and playing our role. But there is a reward. There's a reward that is given to the soul winner. Go with me real quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you can, if you'd like, keep your place there in 1, 2 Corinthians. We're going to come back there later on in the sermon. But go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You got 1, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. While you turn there, let me read to you from John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we find the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And it seems like the Apostle Paul, in the passage we just saw, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it seems like Paul is quoting, and he's definitely referencing back to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Notice what the Bible says. John 4, 35. He says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months," this is Jesus speaking, "and then cometh the harvest." He says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest." Here's what I want you to hear. Verse 36. Here's what Jesus said in John 4, 36. "And he that reapeth receiveth wages." That's the reward. God will always pay you for the work you do. "He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, and both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." So we see that there's a reward. The Bible teaches this clearly. And I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning on the subject of rewards that you can earn for soul winning. And specifically, I'd like to give you three thoughts with regards to these rewards. If you'd like to write this down, maybe you can jot this down on the back of your course of the week. There's for you to write down, there's a note place for you to write down some things. First of all, I'd like you to notice this morning the soul winner's reward in a crown. The soul winner's reward in a crown. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says this. Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "For what is our hope or joy?" Or, just want you to notice this little phrase. We're going to come back and develop this more in a minute. But I just want you to notice the phrase. He says, "Or crown of rejoicing." Crown of rejoicing. In the Bible teaches that there are crowns that we can earn in heaven as rewards. And here Paul references a crown of rejoicing. Now, it is understood by most people that the crown of rejoicing is a soul winner's crown. You're going to see as we continue in this sermon, but we've already looked at it a little bit, that the word rejoice or rejoicing is closely associated with soul winning. For example, I read to you from John 4:36 when Jesus says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." And you're going to notice that the word rejoice keeps coming up, or rejoicing keeps coming up within the context of soul winning. And here we see that there's this crown of rejoicing. And I believe that this is a literal physical crown that people are going to get in heaven. There are crowns that the Bible teaches that we could earn in heaven. Specifically, there are 5 crowns the Bible tells us we can earn. Many years ago, I did a series on the crowns in heaven, and we went through and talked about the different crowns that you can earn in heaven. If you're interested, I'll just list them for you if you'd like to jot this down. But there are 5 crowns that you can earn in heaven. The first we see here in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 is a crown of rejoicing. This is the soul winner's crown. And this could be earned by any believer who's a soul winner. This is a crown that God will give you in heaven as a reward for being a soul winner, the crown of rejoicing. There's also, secondly, the incorruptible crown. That's found in 1 Corinthians 9:25. This is the crown for living a disciplined life, a discipled life, a faithful life. There's also the crown of righteousness. This is 2 Timothy 4. This is found in 2 Timothy 4:8. This is the crown that is given to those who love the appearing of the Lord and who look for the appearing of the Lord, who sanctify themselves and prepare themselves for the appearing of the Lord. There's also the crown of life. This is found in James 1:12, also Revelation 2:10. This is a crown given to people who endure trials and temptations, and specifically who are martyred for the cause of Christ. Then there's the crown of glory. That's found in 1 Peter 5:4. That's given to faithful pastors and spiritual leaders, those who have been instructed to teach the Word of God. Now, all of these crowns cannot be earned by everybody. If you're not someone who's publicly teaching the Word of God or instructing people with the Word of God, then maybe the crown of glory is not something that you could earn. The crown of life is given to people who have been killed, who have been martyred for the cause of Christ. You and I may not be able to earn that crown. Not every crown here can be earned by everyone, but the crown of rejoicing can be earned by any believer. It's a soul winner's crown. It's a crown that God will present you with for a life and service of soul winning. Now, I'd like you to keep your place there in 1 Thessalonians. Put a ribbon or a bookmark or something, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. But go with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter 4. The Bible teaches, and this is not the only way that we're going to be rewarded in heaven. There's other rewards, but the Bible teaches that one of the rewards that we're going to receive is that you're given a crown. We'll learn about this during the series on the timeline of the end times, but we're going to learn that during the millennial reign of Christ, we will be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the only way you're going to rule and reign is if you've earned a crown. A crown is a picture of authority. And the only way to rule with Christ is to be given one of these crowns. And I'm saying to you that a surefire way to make sure that you're rewarded during the millennial reign and that you're not embarrassed and ashamed during the judgment seat of Christ is to receive the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown. There's a presenting of crowns. The crown of rejoicing, the incorruptible crown, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory. But then you might ask, well, what's the purpose of the crowns? What's the purpose? And again, I believe that partly the purpose is to rule and reign with Christ. But there's a bigger purpose and a greater purpose. And we find that in Revelation chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says this. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Of course, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want you to notice this statement. The Bible says, and cast their crowns before the throne. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. See, the purpose of the crown, why are we presented with crowns? There's several reasons why we're presented with the crowns, but I believe that the purpose of the crowns is for us to cast them at the feet of Jesus. See, they're not for us, they're for Him. And the purpose of the crowns is that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be rewarded for the things done in our body. We might receive several crowns, or maybe someone could receive all five crowns. And then we will cast those crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. We learned on Sunday night that it's possible for someone to earn no rewards. Remember that? To be saved as of by fire. Everything they did in this life was wood and hay and stubble. All of it was of just earthly value, no eternal value. And the truth is this, you might get to heaven and say the words, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. But if you have no crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus, it'll show that you live for yourself. You say, what's the purpose of the crowns? It's to cast them at the feet of Jesus, is to show Him, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You were worthy enough for me to live for you. You were worthy enough for me to earn these crowns. I didn't earn these crowns so I could show them off and brag about them in heaven. I earned them to show you my love. So we see the soul winner's reward in a crown. There's a presenting of crowns, and there's the purpose of crown. And again, I don't know about you. Look, is somebody going to get to heaven and have no crowns? There's going to be some people that are going to get to heaven and have no crowns. The Bible tells us that. We read about that. We learned about that on Sunday night. If you get to heaven and have no crowns, are you going to be happier in heaven? I think you will. It's better to be in heaven with no crowns than to be in hell with a lot of crowns from earth. I think you'll be glad that you're in heaven, but I'm just saying to you, if it were me, I'd rather get to heaven and have some crowns. If I'm going to play a game, I want to know how to win. I want to know how to score some points. I want to know how to earn some rewards. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to, by God's grace, if He allows me to earn some crowns and to be able to cast those crowns at the feet of my Lord Jesus Christ and say, it wasn't for me, it's for you. We see the soul winner's reward in a crown. And what's the purpose of rewards? It's to motivate us. And I think that these rewards should be a motivation. Some people say, earning rewards, that's selfish. Well, you must be more spiritual than Jesus. Because Jesus said, Behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. He's offering us rewards because He wants to motivate us. We have a family fun night we do here every once in a while, and we give the children some treats and some little toys and things for memorizing the Bible. You say, why do you do that? Because we want to motivate them. We want them to memorize the Bible. We want them to memorize those verses. So if we can buy them some little toy, some little gadget that'll get them motivated. Hey, let me tell you something. There's something about being motivated. I heard this week a story of a young man who was out in the woods. He was hiking. He came across the path and he heard growling behind him. He turned around. There was a grizzly bear just several feet away from him, growling so close he could feel the heat from the breath. And he looked around and he said, I can't run fast enough to get out of the way of this grizzly bear. But he looked up and he saw that there was a tree and there was a branch that was about 8 feet in the air. And he quickly, you know how it is when something like this is happening, your mind is moving faster. And he thought quickly, I don't know that I could jump 8 feet in the air to grab that limb, but it's the only choice I have. And he said a quick prayer and he leaped up in the air, attempting to grab that branch 8 feet in the air, and he missed the branch. But he caught it on the way down. You say, what is that? That's motivation. Sometimes all we need is just a little motivation to get us out there. Sometimes we need just some motivation to go out to preach the gospel. And here Jesus is trying to give us some positive motivation and say, hey, don't get to heaven and be that guy. Don't be that lazy guy. Don't be that slacker that earned nothing, that did nothing. That, yeah, you got to heaven as of by fire. Make sure you get there and you have something to show for what you did for Christ. So we see the soul winner's reward in a crown. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, not only do we see the soul winner's reward in a crown, but I'd like you to notice that there's a soul winner's reward in the constellations. Now, that might sound a little odd to you, but let me explain. If you would go with me to the Old Testament book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 1. If you can find the major prophets, they're all clustered together. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, these are big books towards the end of the Old Testament. Right after Ezekiel, you have the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 12. And if you're taking notes, you can jot this down, the soul winner's reward in a crown. Number 2, the soul winner's reward in the constellations. And let me explain that. Have you ever noticed, or maybe you haven't noticed, how in the Bible, whenever we are presented with or we are given a description of a glorified body, you know what a glorified body is? It's the body of someone who's in heaven. We're not going to go to heaven. If you are saved, you're not going to go to heaven in the current body you have. You'll be given a glorified body. An eternal version of the one you have. The one you have may have some issues and may have some problems, but the eternal one will have no problems. The Bible says that this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. You're going to be given a glorified body. I'm looking forward to that. And some people I know, if they've had ailments and diseases and sickness, the body in heaven will have no hurt, no pain, no cancer in heaven. It'll be healed. It'll be perfect. It'll be uncorrupted. Mine might even be a little taller. Who knows? We'll be given a glorified body. Have you ever noticed when the Bible describes glorified bodies that one of the major descriptions is the radiance, the shine, the brightness? Let me just give you some examples. You go to Daniel chapter 12. While you turn there, let me just read to you from Matthew chapter 17. You go to Daniel chapter 12, and in Matthew 17, in verse 2, this is the famous passage on the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus was transfigured into his glorified body. Here's what the Bible says. And was transfigured before them, talking about Jesus, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Notice that the main description is about his brightness, his radiance. His face did shine as the sun. Revelation 1 and verses 13 and 16, we find a description of the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's one thing it says. It says, his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. His countenance, referring to his face. He said, you look up at the sun, which I don't recommend, in the middle of the day, in its strength, in the middle of summer. He said, that's what his countenance was like. It's not just Jesus. Other people, other beings are described the same way. For example, angels. In Matthew 28, verses 2 and 3, at the resurrection of Christ, the Bible says about the angels, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. The Bible says in Revelation 10 and verse 1 about an angel, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. I would say that the number one characteristic given to us about glorified bodies or bodies in heaven is their brightness, is that they shine and they radiate. They have this shine. And it's not just Jesus. It's not just angels. The Bible says that you and I will have glorified bodies that will also shine. I want you to notice the light of our glorified bodies. Are you there in Daniel chapter 12? Look at verse 3. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. The Bible says, and they that be wise, just make a note of that. Nothing in the Bible is incidental, coincidental, or accidental. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. And here we're told, and they that be wise, notice the words here, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The firmament is referring to the heavens, the stars, the constellations, the sun and the moon and the stars. The Bible says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that, notice what the Bible says here, turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Here the Bible says that in heaven, there's going to be individuals with glorified bodies, and their brightness is going to be like the brightness of the stars, of the firmaments. They will, their shine will be as the stars forever and ever. You say, well, how does somebody get this radiance in their glorified body? How does someone get this light in their glorified body? How does someone get this shine? Well, here we're told in Daniel 12:3, it says, they that be wise, and they that turn many to righteousness. They that be wise, and they that turn many to righteousness. Now, let's just do a real quick Bible study. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture. The Bible says in Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Turn many to righteousness should indicate to you this idea, the ministry of reconciliation. Turning people to the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Proverbs real quickly, Proverbs chapter number 11. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 11. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 is a famous verse on soul winning. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the Bible says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Remember, they that turn many to righteousness? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Look at it. Don't miss it. And he that winneth souls is wise. This is what Daniel's talking about when he says, and they that be wise, who's wise according to the Bible? He that winneth souls is wise. He says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars of heaven. Proverbs 11:3 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So according to the Bible, if you're wise, you're going to shine as the firmament. According to Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. According to Daniel, if you turn many to righteousness, you're going to shine as the stars forever and ever. So what is that talking about? It's talking about soul winning. It's talking about getting people saved. And you might say, go with me real quickly to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. First book in the New Testament should be fairly easy to find, Matthew chapter 13. You might say, well, I think that Daniel is speaking poetically here. It's not literal. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And here's the thing, the Bible definitely speaks poetically at times, and I'm not even going to argue that maybe it's not poetic, but you know, the thing about when the Bible speaks poetically is that when something comes up over and over and it's emphasized over and over again, and when there's literally people in glorified bodies whose brightness is so bright, they're causing blindness to people. The Apostle Paul looked on the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body, and he was literally, physically blinded by it for 3 days, and Ananias had to come and heal him. That's not, you know, just an analogy. That's not poetic. That's literal. Notice Matthew 13, verse 43. Matthew 13, verse 43, the Bible says, then shall the righteous. Remember, turn many to righteousness. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. Notice how these words are all being used together. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus said that the righteous are going to shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Proverbs says, he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel tells us that as many as be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The Bible says that in our glorified bodies, we're going to shine, and we see that with other glorified bodies throughout the Bible. And the Bible seems to indicate that our brightness, which by the way, is our glory, which is what you have to show and see, look, it's like your level. That it's connected to this idea of soul winning. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness. He that winneth souls is wise. They that turn many to righteousness. You say, well, what does the light of the glorified body have to do with soul winning? Well, consider this. The light of the glorified body may have something to do with the light of the glorious gospel. Can you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Just real quickly. Let me show you these verses. We'll get off of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I understand we're in a very specific topic right now. And if you're a guest, we're glad that you're here. You're kind of joining us at the end of a, it might feel like you're at the end of a movie. We've been learning about rewards. But just stay with us and we hope you'll come back for Easter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says this, in whom the God, notice lowercase g God, that's not God in heaven, that's the God of this world, that's the devil, in whom the God of this world hath blinded, notice the wording here, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, the word lest means unless, look at it, unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, how does the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine unto them? Well, we do that. It's the ministry of reconciliation. See, when you and I bring the gospel to someone, we're bringing the light of the glorious gospel. And then the Bible says that in heaven, you and I are going to shine based off of that. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And I would submit to you this morning, what if, I mean, just consider this. What if the physical, literal brightness, the shine of your glorified body in heaven, what if that is determined by how brightly you shone the glorious gospel here on earth? Do you understand what I just said to you? What if God looks down on earth and he looks at you and he says, okay, based on how much you shone, based on how bright you were with the glorious gospel, that's how bright your glorified body is going to be in heaven. Because the Bible says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Those that turn many to righteousness are soul winners. Those that are wise are soul winners. He that winneth souls is wise. So what if your shining of the glorious gospel here on earth will determine your shine and your glory in heaven? I would submit to you this morning that there might be some very dim Christians. Look, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and have no crowns, and I also don't want to get to heaven and be the nightlight. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's like they're trying to put the babies to sleep, and we got too much shine, we got too much brightness. Bring so-and-so dim light. Bring nightlight Christian. He never gave the gospel to anybody. He doesn't shine very much. Look, now no one will outshine the Lord Jesus Christ, because anybody who's saved is saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some people you're not going to outshine. I mean, the Apostle Paul, we understand those things. But I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, if God determines our brightness and our glorified body based on how much you shine the glorious gospel on earth, it makes me wonder how much I'll shine. It makes me wonder how much you'll shine. It makes me wonder how much we shine the gospel. What's interesting is that in the context of this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice verse 3, the context, that verse is in context of verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4:3, the Bible says this, but if our gospel, what is that? That's the light. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. The Bible says that if our gospel, if our light be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. When I read that, I think, imagine that there's a ship out in the sea, out in the dark, out in the night, out during a storm, and there's a lighthouse. What's the purpose of the lighthouse? To shine the light. What's the purpose of the lighthouse? To make sure that that ship comes safely into the harbor. What's the purpose of the lighthouse? To make sure that that ship doesn't hit the rocks, doesn't hit the cliffs, doesn't sink out there. But imagine a lighthouse that doesn't want to light, put out the light. Imagine a lighthouse that wants to turn the light off. What's that ship going to do out there in the dark, in the storm? How's it going to make it to a safe harbor if the lighthouse is not willing to shine the light? That's you and that's me. Imagine a lighthouse that says, well, I don't want to light, I don't want to shine the light because, you know, I'm just shy. Well, I don't care if the lighthouse is shy. If the lighthouse can shine the light, shine the light. Well, if I shine the light, I don't know what those boats out there are going to think about me. They may not want to come into this harbor. Hey, if they come into the harbor, don't come into the harbor. That's their decision. Our job is to shine the light. The interesting thing to me about Christians who refuse to shine the light is that they're keeping the light from the people who need it the most. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. People say, well, I'll talk about Jesus around other Christians. Well, you don't need to talk about Jesus around other Christians. If they're Christians, they know about Jesus. What you need is to shine the glorious gospel to those that are lost. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So you see the soul winner's reward in a crowd. There's a crown of rejoicing. I don't know about you, but if I can earn a crown, I'd like to earn a crown. You say, well, you must be selfish and arrogant. Maybe I am. I don't know, but I'd sure like to cast it at the feet of Jesus. Then there's a soul winner's reward in the constellations. Your glorified body, the Bible says, will be radiant, and people will look at you. They'll be literally physically able to look at you and see how good of a faithful servant you were at shining the glorious gospel. And look, I don't want to get to heaven and be dim and be a nightlight. I want to get to heaven and shine. I hope you want to get to heaven and shine. So let's shine on earth the glorious gospel. But I want to give you thirdly this morning. Can you make your way back to 1 Thessalonians 2? I'd like you to notice one last thing. We see the soul winner's reward in a crown, and we see the soul winner's reward in the constellations. But I want you to notice in 1 Thessalonians 2, this is where we saw the crown of rejoicing. I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul is not actually talking about the crown of rejoicing. Now, he mentions the crown of rejoicing, and I believe that there literally is a crown of rejoicing because there's other crowns, like the incorruptible crown, the crown of life, all those crowns. They're real. They're literal. But in the context, Paul is actually using the literal physical crown of rejoicing as an example for something else. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19. He says, for what is our hope? The word hope is often associated with heaven. Or joy, or crown of rejoicing. He says, are not even ye? He's talking to the Thessalonians, people he got saved, right? Remember in 1 Corinthians, he said, who is Paul and who is Apollos, but minister by whom ye believed? He said, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I understand there's a crown of rejoicing. I understand there's a crown given to the soul winners. I understand that there's all those rewards. He said, but you know what will be better than that in heaven? Even better than the physical crown of rejoicing. Even better than the physical shine of our glorified body. He says, you know what will be better? You know what is my hope? You know what is my joy? You know what the real crown of rejoicing is? It's you. He says, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. Look at verse 20. He says, "For ye are our glory and joy." Go to Philippians real quickly, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You're there in 1 Thessalonians. If you go backwards, you've got Colossians, then Philippians. Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, go backwards, you have Colossians and Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Notice what he says. Philippians chapter 4. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying to you, when we get to heaven, what will matter the most is converts. Yeah, it's going to be great to get to heaven and get a crown. I hope you earn it. I hope I earn it. It'd be great to get to heaven and have our glorified bodies shine. I hope you shine and I hope I shine. But Paul is telling us, greater than the crown of rejoicing, the physical crown, greater than the physical literal shine, he said, greater than all of that is to get to heaven and to have a convert with you. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of our Lord. He said, the best thing is going to be to get to heaven and to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I think when we get to heaven, that's who we all want to meet first, right? I mean, we all have our list of people you want to meet. Paul, Moses, David. I think we all want to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what would be better than meeting the Lord Jesus Christ? Is to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and also say, and I've brought some people with me. That's the crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? For ye are our glory and joy. Philippians 4, you're there? Look at verse 1. Notice what Paul says. Philippians 4 and verse 1. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Notice what he says. He says, my joy and crown. He says, my brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know who your joy and crown really are going to be in heaven? Yes, are there physical crowns? I believe there are. Is there a physical shine? I believe there is. But you know who's going to be your crown in heaven? The converts you brought with you. So you see the soul winner's reward in a crown. And we see the soul winner's reward in the constellations. But you know what we really see is the soul winner's reward in our converts. What will matter in heaven the most is converts. You understand that heaven is the great perspective setter. Things that mean so much on earth will mean nothing in heaven. We worry so much about the economy and about money and about cars and about things of this earth. We worry so much about the value of gold. God says, I pave the streets in heaven with gold. Things that matter so much to us on earth will matter nothing in heaven. And I submit to you this morning that the only thing that will matter in heaven is the souls of men that we brought with us. What will matter most in heaven are the converts. So I say to you, go to Psalm 126, if you would, just real quickly. We'll finish in Psalm 126. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely find the book of Psalms. Psalm 126. What will matter in heaven? Converts. What will be the greatest reward in heaven? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. What will matter the most in heaven are converts. And I say to you, that if converts are what matters the most in heaven, then converts are what should matter the most on earth. See, at the end of the day, and in the end of our lives, only one thing will matter: the souls of men. Did we bring anyone with us to heaven? Did we bring our children? Did we bring our friends? Did we bring our loved ones? When the RMS Titanic was sinking in April 1912, one passenger, a Scottish Baptist evangelist named John Harper, showed extraordinary soul-winning zeal. Harper put his young daughter on a lifeboat and then spread the gospel amid the chaos, calling on people to place their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the frigid Atlantic, Harper gave his life jacket to another man, saying, "You need this more than me." And as he floated in the icy water, he shouted to nearby survivors, "Are you saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Harper succumbed to the waves, but but that man who he shouted to survived. At a survivor's meeting years later, the man testified that he trusted on Christ and was John Harper's last convert. The truth is this, that in the end, only one thing will matter: the souls of men. The songwriter said, "Must I go and empty-handed? Thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him? Lay no trophy at his feet? Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go?" I hope that's not what you'll say. I hope that's not what any of us will say. Psalm 126 and verse 5 says this: "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with," notice the word, "rejoicing." The crown of rejoicing. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Or not even ye? The Bible says, "Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I hope when you get to heaven, you'll learn a crown. At least a soul winner's crown. I hope when you get to heaven, I hope when I get to heaven, we'll shine like the stars in the firmament. But more than that, I hope you'll have someone with you. I think we'll spend all of eternity getting to know each other. And there will be people that you know you got saved and will be there, and there'll be people that, someone that got you saved. I think it'll be interesting. In fact, I think it would be interesting if someone at some point during that eternal state would approach you and say, "You probably don't remember me, but the week of Easter 2025, you participated in a soul-winning push your church did. And around 6:35 p.m. on a Thursday, you knocked on my door. You asked me a question. You know for sure if you died today, are you on your way to heaven? I said no. And you asked me if you could share the gospel with me, and I said yes. And I'm here today because of you." I hope someone will say that to you. I hope someone will say that to me. "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him." Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. Lord, help us not to just say empty words, vain words. We love you. Lord, let us prove that with our lives and through our lives. It's not a vain thing. It's not a selfish thing to want to earn a reward in heaven, a crown in heaven to cast at your feet. I pray you'd help us to do so. I pray you'd help us to be motivated to do so. Lord, I pray that you would raise up in this church a soul-winning army of people that have the right perspective, who understand that there are things on this earth that will not matter for eternity's sake. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to give our lives to reach people with the gospel. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being